I want you to turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. We're going to be talking about moms today. And no, we're going to be talking about ladies today, women. Women in general, the value of a woman. The value of a woman is the title of the message this morning. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 16. We're going to look at the first four verses. So if you would, please. It says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, was in Sincera, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a securer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the sacrifices that the ladies make for the home. Thank you for the sacrifices that the ladies make for the church. And thank you for the ladies who make those sacrifices on a daily basis for this world, for Father, for this nation. We just thank you so much for them, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the value of a woman. For me, I know if it were not for the women who God have placed in my life, I would not be here today. I would not be where I am today. And that is without a doubt. I could not be. My mom was absolutely the woman who I adored, and I looked up to her. I praise God for her. She lived a good life, 80 years. She worked. She was a hard worker. And, you know, I just loved her dearly, and she loved me. And I was, of course, the baby of the family, so I got certain privileges that none of the other siblings did. So, but that was okay, because my mom was okay with that, right? And all you moms and everybody knows that the baby of the family gets a lot of attention. Especially, you know, I had my three sisters also, and they kind of were made to love me. All right, you know, the little brat, and so they grew me up, and especially my sister Janet. And unfortunately, Janet's away this week, and she wasn't able to make it here, but I'll tell you what, Janet's been an awesome lady in my life. I mean, really. And then there's my wife, Susan. She is just awesome. If it wasn't for Susan in my life, I'll tell you what, I would definitely not be here, really. I mean, because, you know, she's the one that kind of holds the stable part of me, and she keeps me focused, and she, you know, keeps me on the path that I should be going on. And you know what? Many other women in my life too, because of you know, when we were teenagers growing up, we had and many of you probably had this, a house where y'all congregated. And the mom there was always there for you, you know, and you called her mom. We had that. I used to have a girlfriend over in the other side of town on Askren Street, and I lived over on Marie Street up by Union, and I would walk over all that way. Ask me if I did it today, I'm not sure. But I walked all the way across town, and then a lot of times in dark and at nighttime, and I'd come over. But we used to congregate. About 16 or 17 of us teenagers would go into this house, and it was just pretty awesome. And I'm sure if I were to go around the room today, you could probably say, yeah, the ladies in my life have taken me, you know, and formed me and shaped me and taught me and, you know, biblical principles and everything in the home. And brought me up, and that's why I'm a Christian today, that's why I'm here today, and whatever. And you could probably, you know, come right along. And even the women that you probably had that house that you went to that was like your second mom, right? Yeah, awesome. So today we celebrate Mother's Day, and I would really like to honor the moms here this morning, but not only the women, the moms and the women who have had physical children, but all of you, because all the women have a special gift from God to be able to raise up kids. And you do. I mean, I know that some of them are in the children's ministry. I know many women who don't have physical children, but are moms to the core, that are true moms. And so I would like to honor them too. And some of them, they're the best moms. So this morning we are going to look at about the value of a woman. And many of you here this morning won't remember this TV show, these great TV shows back in the day. I'm old now, and some of you guys can relate to this, but not all of you. But Ozzie and Harriet, do you remember? Some of you remember, huh? Three of us. Four of us. Okay. Ozzie and Harriet, that was great, man. That was good TV. It was black and white, and the tube was about this big, you know? The TV actually was this big. And the picture was that big. Took all that stuff to work it. Now, you know, the flat screens, you know, all there is a screen there. You wonder how they even worked it. But Leave It to Beaver. Do you remember Leave It to Beaver? I used to watch that every day after school, along with the Three Stooges, you know, and all that stuff, you know. And then Fathers Know Best, right? Right? And most of you remember now, I'll bring it to today's, well, actually a few years ago, but you remember The Simpsons, right? Yeah, that's what we watch today. We watch The Simpsons and then The Osbournes, right? Ozzy. Anybody watch that? I didn't. I heard about it. Yeah, okay, we've got one that'll admit. Yeah. And I know there are a lot of secret Ozzy Osbourne fans here. I think Jim is one. But anyway, you know what? We went from honoring the family and making dads look great, right? You know, fathers know best. Wait till your dad gets home and you'll get it, right? Right? To a bumbling idiot. Dads are bumbling idiots. And that's what we've come to. Unfortunately, from stay-at-home moms nurturing the family to moms who are only valued if they are successful, thin, and beautiful, right? We look at TV, and if you're successful, beautiful, and thin, then you got it made. You have it. And I don't have to tell you that we live in a very difficult time for the family. I can go on and on and on about that. That's a message in itself. The families today are in trouble. I mean, in big trouble, big, big trouble, you know? We really are. Just take a look at Facebook and see what's going on. It's horrible. Just take a look on TV and see what's going on. I can't even watch TV anymore because there's a woman in a scantily clad bathing suit on a commercial, or something is going on, or some two guys are having a family relationship and things like that. And that's the way our society is today, unfortunately. I'm glad that I don't, and I'm not raising my children now in this day. I praise God that you guys you need a lot of prayer, and we need to pray as a family that the ones that are raising children in this day and age will be successful with that and be nurturing and so on. Like I said, I am really glad that I don't have to raise children in this challenging culture. And there is a lot of pressure on the family today, and women are faced with a lot of pressure. You know, they have the supermodels. They strive to be as thin as they possibly can so that they can fit into their clothes, right? You see a supermodel on television. Now, television makes you look fat. They're skinny, even that the TV makes them look fat. And movie stars, they have makeup artists that make them up and make them beautiful. And you know, the women of today have to feel like, well, you know, how come I can't look like that? How come I don't look like that? Well, for number one, you're not starving yourself. Amen. And you don't have makeup artists, and most of you don't need makeup. If you'd look in the mirror and say, you know what, God's made me this way, and I'm beautiful the way I am. And you'll know that men will say that too. I tell my wife, I don't need you to put makeup on. It's not necessary. I love you the way you are. I love you the way you look, the way that God made you. It's nice to have makeup if you'd like to do that, but you don't need it to be perfect. And you see all of that, and you begin to feel a bit inadequate, don't you? But you know what? The Bible is full of words of encouragement which show how God values women. He really does. If you just take a look at chapter 16, when Paul's writing to the Romans, and he's saying, look, I believe that Phoebe, our sister, has a church in her house. She is the first person that he wants to have a salutation to. It's Phoebe. And then if you read down, he's looking at Priscilla and Aquila. And many more. And I would have read all 17 verses, but I can't pronounce half of those names. They couldn't have had Jim and Joe and Susie and Nancy for names. They have to have Floby. So I didn't read the rest of those, but if you go down through there, you'll see that he gave equal respect to the women as he did to the men. I love that about him. I love that about the fact that, yes, he did. He gave the women that equal respect. God comes to you with grace and a heart that accepts you for who you are. You are important to God in many ways, and I want to talk specifically about three areas this morning. The one, I'm going to probably be taken out back and stoned until you actually get the gist of it, okay? So because I'm going to see all kind of reactions on your face. Number one, first thing, is that I want to emphasize today is that a woman's place is in the home. Did I get any looks? I shouldn't have preempted you first, because I should have just shocked you, all right? The woman's place is in the home. Now, don't get crazy on me. Don't take me out back and stone me. It's not what you think, because actually a man's place is in the home too, all right? Now you know where we're going? Each of our places is in the home. The home is where we are to nurture, to love and encourage our children, right? And one another. We're to do that. That doesn't mean that a woman's only place is in the home, but as with men, it is her best place. It is our best place to minister, to raise up children. That is our first ministry right there, home, okay? You can work outside the home, it doesn't really matter. But home is where you raise up, you nurture, you love, you bring up those kids to know Jesus Christ at an early age. It's the only way. I can remember as a child, you know, my dad, even though they were of a different religion, a different denomination, they still taught me about God. I knew at a very, very young age that there was a God, that there was a person named Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me. I didn't know all the stories. My dad and mom didn't know all the stories. And well, they did, but they never relayed them to me. And I got those finally later on in life. But, you know, that's your responsibility now, to raise those children up and let them know about Jesus Christ and that that he loves them. Do you know what? Women, it is her place, it is her best place, and women are so much better at nurturing than men. I'll tell you what, my dad was kind of a stay-at-home dad, okay? He was a stay-at-home dad. And I love my dad, and you know, he's passed, God bless his soul, and I know he's in heaven, and I know I'm going to see him again, and as with my mom. But you know what? He did the best he could, but it wasn't my mom. Dad was there. Dad tried to do everything, but it wasn't my mom. My mom had to work outside the home. As much as I love my dad, he wasn't my mom. And as close a relationship I have with my daughter, Lee, I'm not mom to her. Who does she have that relationship with now? My daughter and I are very, very close. I love her so much, and she loves me back. But I'm not mom. She has a relationship with Susan, her mom, that I can't replace. I mean, who does she call? She calls me when she's in trouble, okay? She calls me, like yesterday, she called and she says, Dad, I'm up in Carlisle and I'm trying to get on to 81, but there's an 18-mile backup. What do I do? Well, okay, well, she knows that I'm familiar with roads, and okay, this is what you do, baby. And then she got there, but she didn't call me and say, I got there safe. She called her. I had to ask later on, did Lee call you? Yes, she texted me and said I was okay. But when things are, you know, every day they have a relationship, they talk back and forth, and I am so proud of that, and I am so pleased with that. But again, home is where men and women can find meaning, and that's where you really find meaning, is in the home, because that is the place where our most important relationships are. That's it, right there. God is all about relationships, right? It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one, relationships. That's why He created us, to have relationships. Having a relationship with God is what it means to be a Christian, right? That's what it means to be a Christian, having a relationship with God, Jesus Christ, in our hearts. Having a relationship with other people is what it means to be fully human, to be fully human. In the home, we learn to live with other people in very important ways. We learn to forgive when we are wronged, right? Wronged, right? Stay with me. We show grace. We learn that love is much more than just a fuzzy feeling that we have that tingles when we're with our girlfriend or boyfriend. It's more than that. It's deeper than that. It goes deeper than that. And we want it to go deeper than that. Amen? We learn that from our moms because God has gifted them with these special attributes. And the home is also where ministry is. Faith in Christ begins in the home. The home, you know, a lot of people think, well, you know what? They'll get what they need at church. No, no. That we are a supplement to what you give them at home. The home is your first ministry. Absolute first ministry. Don't ever forget that. Your wife, your husband, your children, that's where your ministry begins. You cannot, even if you have, like Pastor Ron and I cannot take this family over this family. I can't. Because if this family doesn't work, this family will never work. So I always have to take my family first. God first, family second, and then my congregation, right? This family of God. And that's how it should always work. Always. And then, of course, there are other pecking orders, right? There's the job and things like that that you have to have. But faith in Christ begins at home. And the home is the first ministry. People who think the important things learned are the ones learned outside of the home miss God's greatest calling. Home is where emotional wounds can be mended, sagging spirits can be lifted, where people are allowed to be themselves. And that's one great thing about it. I was able to be myself at home, always, especially around my sister Janet. Janet would never judge me. Janet never has ever said any, I don't think, you know, siblings have these sibling rivalries where they fight amongst one another. I mean, even, I love it. Jake and Luke this morning, man, they're just going at each other playfully. But I love them. My sister and I never did that. Never fought, never once. She was always there for me. Even when I didn't know what I was talking about and I thought I did, and I would tell my sister, she would just kind of go along with me. She would, you know, she would try to guide me and stuff, but she would never say, well, you're an imbecile, which she should have. Hey, you imbecile, it's wrong. She never did that. But when this world beats you down, that the family lifts you back up, that moms lift you back up, the women in your life lift you back up. We get smiles and hugs. I love that. Don't you love to be hugged in the morning when you come to church? I like that. I do. I love to go around and hug and see how everybody's doing. That's being part of a family, and that's what you get. And we are listened to, too, and understood. A woman's place is many places, but her best place, her most important place, is in the home. So now are you mad at me? No, you got it right. Yeah, it's not the only place for you, because you'll see that in this next point. But at least you'll know that your most important, most valuable place is right where God has placed you at home. The second point is that a woman's place is in the world. Wow. Wait a minute. Didn't you just say? Proverbs 31. Take a look at Proverbs 31. It's right after the Psalms. Last chapter in Proverbs. A woman's place is in the world. And it says in Proverbs 31, it describes and praises a woman who is truly a worldly woman. Beginning in verse 30 of chapter 31 in Proverbs, it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know what? She has her own business and takes her place in the marketplace. Here she is. If you read the Proverbs 31 woman, and I'll tell you what, I preached that Proverbs 31 woman on Mother's Day 5 years ago when my mother passed away. My mother passed away a couple of days before Mother's Day. I preached Mother's Day, and then I buried my mother on the day after Mother's Day. I spent the whole day in the funeral home with her that day. My mother was definitely the Proverbs 31 woman, without a doubt. She did. If you would read that, you see Mary Ethel Ritz through that whole thing. She dealt in the marketplace, she deals with real estate, she helps those in need, and she provides for her family through her trade. And the Bible ends this section by describing her activities and saying what it says in Proverbs 30 and 31, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, and my mother feared the Lord, and many of you here today fear the Lord. That's why you're here on Mother's Day. You could have said, you know what? Today is Mother's Day. I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to be lavish. I'm going to let my husband and my children just let me sleep in bed and bring me some food and breakfast in bed and stuff like that. But you didn't. You're here. Okay? That's important. Now, you would had to live back then to understand the importance or truly appreciate what is actually going there. This is a radically different view of women back then, because women in other cultures outside the Hebrew culture did not and still do not to this day elevate women. I mean, they're just oppressed and spat upon. I mean, they have to hide themselves. They are not allowed to have educations and things like that. They are not. So those other near cultures, the ones that are around, did not give women a place of dignity or honor as the Hebrews did. And the whole point of the story of Adam and Eve is that man by himself is inadequate in this world. You know, when you're going down and you look at Genesis, you know, and God created man out of the dust, and he said, well, you know what, I'm not happy with this. He needs a helpmeet. He needs somebody that can help him. So he made all the animals, he made all the fish, he made all the birds in the air, and he said, Adam, go ahead and name them all, and he named them all, and still God said, you know what, this isn't right. You need a helpmeet, and none of those will satisfy you. And then he made the woman. That's why he made you. Not to be that person that are made to meet the man's needs, but to partner. You are to partner with the man in life, to meet the needs of the family, to meet the needs of this world. Life would not be nearly as rich. Just imagine what this world would be if there were only men. if you even want to go there. I don't. It would be a messed up world, wouldn't it? Just all guys. Because we would fight and we would probably end up killing each other off. And we wouldn't exist. There'd only be one guy left and he'd probably commit suicide because he's all alone. That'd be the end of everything, wouldn't it? You know, statistically, women make up 50% of the world's population. But they do 3/4 of the world's work. But they only receive 1/10 of the world's salary. Unfortunately, that's the case. And they only own 1/100 of all the world's land. Women are major players in keeping the world going, but they get less than their fair share of compensation. But you know what? They keep on going. You guys all keep on going. You ladies, you keep on going. Why? Not for the monetary reward, right? But for the satisfaction of being responsible. And that's why you do it. A bumper sticker has rightly said, real women don't have hot flashes. They have power surges. And the last thing I want to talk about this morning is, we need to remember is that a woman's place is in the church. Okay? So you have the home, you have the world, and a woman's place is in the church. Regardless of what is said. If it wasn't in the church, Paul would have never given salutation to the ladies of the church. And I believe, and if you'd study that out, Phoebe probably headed up that house church that was in her home. Back way back when, women were not allowed to have ministry. But back when Christianity first started, they had ministry. Priscilla and Aquila. He didn't say Aquila had. He said Priscilla and Aquila had ministry. They were a ministry team. They partnered. It was an awesome thing. We all know that how difficult it would be for the church if it were not for the women who do so much of the work in the church. You know, I thank God because Wednesday we come here and we have a few men. Thank God for the men. If you come here on Wednesdays and help us out with the children's ministry, praise you. If you have a bus license, see me after the church service. If you'd like to get one, see me after the church service. If you'd like to ride a lawn, see me after the church service. The ladies are here. The ladies are here, and they are helping out and making this thing work. And I'll tell you what, from the time 3 years ago that we started our children's ministry till now, is a marked difference. I absolutely love to come to church on Wednesdays because I get to see it firsthand. I get to walk around. I get to see Pastor Ron up here having a great time with our teens. I get to see back in the back, seeing how much fun the kids are having and the adults are having. It's a fun thing to do. It's a good thing to do. Praise God that we have the faithful women who lead this church and are leaders in this church. We have a lot of faithful women in the past, and it was a faithful woman who stayed with Jesus in his darkest hour. It was. After all the men fled, were faithful women who stayed with Jesus. That says a lot, doesn't it? It says an awful lot about the character of a woman. They were the last ones at the cross, the first ones at the tomb. What, did the guy sleep in that morning? Jesus rose. The guys are over there having their coffee. I let the women go down and bury him. They didn't even realize it. They were the first to tell the world about Christ's resurrection. It was a woman who first preached to the world about the infant Jesus being the Messiah, Anna. Look in Acts. It was a woman named Lydia who was the first Gentile convert during Paul's missionary journey to Europe. Women make up an important part of leadership of the early church, including the church's prophets, teachers, and ministers. And in the Old Testament, Miriam served alongside her brother Moses. Deborah became a judge. And then in the New Testament, Philip had four daughters who became prophets. Priscilla was a co-laborer with her husband, and together they taught in the early church. And then in Acts chapter 1, just take a look over there real quick. Acts chapter 1. In verse 14, the disciples were in the upper room, and look who was with them. It says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." With who? With the women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The women were up there in the upper room. The women were up there when the Holy Ghost came in the upper room and fell upon the men and women. They were there. You guys were there. Your partners. Your partners in this ministry. Tony Campello's wife is a brilliant woman. She has a PhD and is capable of pursuing a profitable and rewarding career. And she chose to stay at home with her children while they were still young. And that decision didn't bother her, but it bothered a lot of people who were around her. People would ask, what do you do for a living? Hey, what do you do for a living? Now, remember, this woman's got a PhD, all right? She could have any job she wants. She can make as much money as she wanted. If she would say that she was a stay-at-home mom, people would look at her embarrassed for her, and then they would cut the conversation off a little short. So she decided to come up with a different response. When asked, she would tell them that, I am socializing two Homo sapiens in Judeo-Christian virtues so that they will appropriate the eschatological values of utopia. What do you do? What would you say? Whoops, this lady's important. You know what? So whether you are a woman teaching the eschatological values of the kingdom to occupants of your home, or doing it in the church or in the world, the hand of God is on your life. Amen? Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to be ending here soon. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So no matter where you are, ladies, God values you, okay? He encourages you to be a great lady. A great lady in the church, at home, and in the world. He encourages you. He loves you. And then when you do that, do all unto him. Do the best you can. Do the best at where God has you right now, this moment. Be who he has you to be and where he has you to be it. Okay? Thank God for women of this world who faithfully do his will. Again, Paul gives his salutation to the women of the early church, and he gives it to you this morning. So would you all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed? You know, family, it is awesome to be able to come up here before you this morning and speak on behalf of the ladies. I thank you, each and every one of you, for being who you are, for being a part of this church, for being the stay-at-home mom, if that's what you choose, for being out in the world and doing your best there to help this world grow and show Jesus Christ to this world. And those of you who work in this church, I praise you. Thank you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you know, I don't know. I think it would be appropriate if the guys would come up and pray for their wives and pray for the women of this church. And ladies, if you have that desire to just say, thank you, God, for putting me where I am or whatever, I'm just going to open the altar up for a few moments while Pastor Ron plays a few tunes. And I just would just like to have you pray. Just thank God for the awesome women who brought you to where you are today. So without delay, won't you come? Or if you want to just grab your wife, grab your that special person in your life and just come up and pray, you could do that too.
Left my fear by the side of the road. I hear you speak and won't let go. I fall to my knees as I lift my hands to pray. Got every reason to be here again. The Father's love that draws me in. And all my eyes want to see is a glimpse of you. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. One more day and it's not the same. Your spirit calls my heart to sing. I'm drawn to the voice of my Savior once again. Where would my soul be without your Son? He gave his life to save the earth. Rest in the thought that you're watching over me. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, I thank you, God. Thank you for ladies of this church. Thank you for the ladies who do your will and do your work and pass that on and pass that faith on that they have, Lord. I thank you so much for them. God, and I would ask that you would encourage each and every person that's here this morning. Encourage the ladies that are here this morning, Father, and give them the strength and the courage and the comfort that they need, Father. The love that surpasses all understanding, Father, that only that you can give. Give it to them this morning. May they be joyful this morning as they go and leave here and say, you know what? I am of value. There is a place for me. I have value. God says I have value. So ladies, you do have value. God says you do. Paul says you do. The entire Bible encourages you, ladies. And I want to thank you personally. God, I want to thank you for all the ladies and wonderful women.